All right, so my question tonight, and everybody who doesn't know the answer can go home, is what did we preach on January 1st? Does anybody remember the New Year's resolution? We spoke about a resolution. What's the obvious resolution in the New Testament? It was introduced by 11 chapters. That takes out a lot of books of the Bible, written down by Paul the Apostle. Chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. That's right. We have one person who can stay. So tonight, I want to look back, as it's the last Sunday of the year. So I want to look back over the past year and look at the theme that is on the board. The Lord searches and knows me. So to look back and reflect on God's presence with us this entire year. So I would like to open with you Psalm 139. We'll read the entire psalm. It's a psalm of David, and it's one of the, I think, one of the best loved psalms of the psalms. Psalm 139, let me read to you. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my downsitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me, for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in numbers than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me therefore, ye bloody men. For they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies shall take thy name in vain. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee? And am not I grieved with those that rise up against thee? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way everlasting. Let us pray to the Lord. Precious, oh precious, holy Lord, our God, our Creator, our Maker, for you have fearfully and wonderfully made us. Oh Lord, we come before you. Through this psalm and through its words, seeing that you search us and know us, seeing that you are present with us throughout our life, throughout this year that is coming to an end. O Lord, our God, we pray that your Holy Spirit might convict us, not to make us sad, but to make us rejoice with the reality that you are near us. Father, that there is no place in heaven or on earth where you are not near us. O great God, before whom the darkness is at the light. O Lord God, we pray that you would open now our eyes that we might see you and your nearness throughout this year, that we, as we hear this psalm, as we together look and dive into this psalm, we pray that you would open our eyes that we might look on 2018 and see that you were there every step of the way, every morning and every evening, that you kept us through every night. Oh, Father, we pray, teach us to live with open eyes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the Psalms of David, and I think in all the Psalms, but especially in those of David, we discover the intimate relationship between David and God. And David sings to the Lord, right? If you had looked in your text, you saw that Lord was written with all capitals. In other words, it's the word Yahweh that is used, which means the I Am, the covenant Lord, the God who is our God, who has stepped up and made himself known to his people. And in this psalm, he takes us on a journey through his understanding of God's care of him and really his presence and his knowledge of who we are. Now, I want somebody to read for me Psalm 139, verse 1, and then verse 23. Who would be willing to do that? Daniel? So the first verse and then verse 23.
O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts.
Do you see what he's doing? He begins with a declaration. He opens with this fact and he says, Lord, you have searched me and you have known me. Right, that's past tense. It's a fact. He has searched the life of David and he has completely and fully known the life of David. And then he comes through the whole journey and he comes to the end. And then now he prays to God, search me and know me. So that's the beginning and the end of our journey tonight through this psalm. So I've written on the board our journey, and I know that there's more verses than verse 18, but we'll take off from here on a little hike and then come back to the beginning of the journey. So we see the main theme is the Lord searches and knows me, right? It's the beginning and the end. And we'll go through, we're starting here, and we'll go down through the journey. So first we'll look at our action, words, thoughts, every place, before I was born, and countless thoughts. All right, so I'll refer to this so you can keep track of the journey. Because what I want you to see is not one of these thoughts, not just that he knows and searches our actions, words, and thoughts, but that you see the whole picture. Because the whole picture is supposed to overwhelm us with God's knowledge of us and God's presence of us. So let us go on our journey. Oh, and I must say, so from this, here, when we come here, he takes, as it were, he goes into exaltation. He goes into a prayer. So after verse 18, and we'll look at that in more detail, he'll go up into a prayer, and you really see what the knowledge of this, 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 and this, if we know that God is so with us, what that does to our prayer life and to our understanding of God and the way we look at this life. And then he comes back to the very beginning, praying that God does that. And I think it sets us off into another journey and another journey and another journey. So tonight, my prayer is that as we dive into this psalm and see that the Lord searches and knows me, and that's really the message of tonight. So if you seek for one simple lesson, here's the lesson. If we understand that the Lord searches and knows me and that he searches and knows you the entire year, the whole of 2018, that he has searched you and knows you, and that, as we'll come here, and I don't need to give away all of it yet, but that we find out that he has countless thoughts about us. I could barely contain myself when I read it from exhorting you in this, because this is an amazing fact. It's not about us, it's about you. Because David says he has countless thoughts about me. We'll come there later. So our first destination is the actions, the words, and the thoughts. And I'm not going to go through every verse again, but I hope that I will set you up that when you read it again tonight, maybe before you go to sleep or when you come home, that you see all of this coming back and see it revealed in the text in detail. So David prays to God, and he says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and knows me. Now, what is this searching and knowing? Can I ask you a question? I always do, right? Or I ask you, I always pick one of the two. What does it mean when you search something? What does it look like? Do you know? Have you ever searched for something? Yeah, what does it mean? How do you search? Do you just lie on your bed and just close your eyes like that?
No.
What do? You go, right? And you look around. Maybe you lift up some things. And you search and you carefully try to find if you can find it, right? And especially, what do you search for? Do you search for trash in a trash can? No, right? What do you search for? Something that you want, right? Something that you desire to have. Something that you desire to see. Is that true, or do you search for things you don't want? No, right? You search for things that you desire. Now, when we search for something, we carefully inspect, right? We exert as much energy as is necessary to discover something we desire to know, we desire to find, or we desire to use. But God is all-knowing. There's never anything that God doesn't know where it is. He sees all things, and we find in God's word that nothing is hidden from his sight. Isn't this what verse 12 says? When he says that even in the darkness, God does not need a light. He sees all things. You cannot cover anything up. You can put your hands, and I can hide from you what is under my hands. But God sees straight through. Right? God knows all things, and he sees all things. And yet, David says, God has searched me and known me. Why does God need to search? Well, God doesn't need to search. And yet, what does this searching mean? David is using language so that we can understand what God is doing. Because what God is doing, what David is saying is, God is very interested in me. He is carefully looking at my life. He is inspecting, if you will, my life. He sees it all together. He knows it all. And yet, he is searching, as you will, through your life. Like we would go through our stuff to find something that we've lost. He carefully exerts his energy, looking at the details to see what we are. And David says, God, you, the way that I search for things, that energy that I consume, that's the way that you search my life. And you carefully look upon my life. God is not sitting from heaven just kind of see if the world still turns and then goes back with this other stuff. No. David says, you search me and you know me. Your eyes are upon me every moment of the day. You carefully inspect my entire life. That's a reality, isn't it? To realize that. But God has not only searched David. He has known me. That's what it says. This word for known is a very beautiful word. It doesn't just speak of, oh, I know about it the way that I know of President Trump and I knew of the previous President Obama. But do I know them? Do I know them the way that I know my wife? Not quite. But God knows my wife much better than I do. Because this word knowing speaks of an intimate, a true knowledge. A true knowing of us. A knowing of all our thoughts, of all our feelings, of all our details. He knows every little bit of your life at this very moment. He knows the thoughts that you're thinking at this moment. He knows where they originate. And he knows the motivation that we sometimes have trouble finding out, or must I say, most of the time have trouble finding out where our thoughts come from. But God searches it. He exerts energy in seeing and understanding us. And he knows us perfectly. He knows us well. And David describes God's comprehensive knowledge of himself. He says, my downsitting and my uprising. The path that I walk on. That road that I travel. The place where I sleep. Every word from my tongue, God knows it altogether. Every moment in 2018, God has searched your life and he knows you. And can I add this? Because David says, Lord, Yahweh, the covenant-keeping God, what David is referring to, you search me and you know me because I am yours. because you love me. It's not just a kind of the way that a judge would scrutinize a person and see his actions and his motivation. No, this is like a father who inspects how his child begins to walk, the way that he speaks, the way that he eats, is carefully monitoring his life, but not just the way that we as fathers or mothers do in this very shallow and imperfect way. No, this is a loving God who carefully inspects every little bit, every part of your life. And so in verse 5 to 6, it says, "Thou hast beset me behind and before." May I picture this respectfully? The Lord is here before me, and he is behind me. The Lord surrounds me. What a reality. The Lord surrounds you. He is before you and behind you. "And he laid thine hand upon me." He's not just there. He has laid his hand upon me and you. "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it." Now, you have walked throughout 2018 in many places. You have sinned in many ways. You have done beautiful things for the Lord in different ways. And all the time, the Lord was before you and behind you, and his hand was upon you. This is too high, isn't it? Who can attain it? David is overwhelmed by the incredible reality that God knows all his actions, all his words, and all his thoughts, and he is still the Lord, my God, who loves me. And so we come to our second. The Lord is not just in all his actions, words, and thoughts, but he is in every place present. David realizes that God does not only know him perfectly, but there's no way of escape from God's knowledge, from God's presence. God is not only all-knowing, he is also everywhere present. He doesn't just know all things, he is there in every place. When you were in China, he was there with you. When your family lives in Korea, he is there with them. He is in the White House. He is in every place present. There is no way of escape. You have people that have been to the moon. He was there with them. God is everywhere present. Children, when the light goes out and maybe you're afraid in the dark, God is right there with you. He is everywhere present. And in David's case, he says there is no escape to the knowledge of God. However far he goes, God is right by his side. And so he says in verse 7, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" Even if there are times where you do things you don't want God to see it, there is no way you can hide it. But this is absolute transparency. This is a very daunting thought. You have secret desires, and you begin to walk in those secret desires, and you realize the Lord sees it all. I was talking with a brother this morning of one of the things that I was reading yesterday, and Paul says in 2 Corinthians that Paul spoke of the Lord, out of the Lord, and in the sight of God. In other words, when I preach and I bring to you the Word of God, it's also in the sight of God. It's though God is standing right next to me, checking every word that I speak and judging every word that I say. There is no way, there is no place you can flee from his presence. Now the question is, and I'm not going to ask this question because I don't want to have this awkward moment where everybody stares at me, because it's a difficult question to come up with right away, I think. Why does David say spirit and presence? Why does he say in the verse here, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" Why does he say spirit? Right? Why does he say, "How can I flee from you, O God?" Well, the answer is, God is spirit. And therefore, there is no limit to a location. If God had a physical body, then he could not be everywhere at the same time. But because he is a spirit, he is everywhere present. There is no limitation, as our bodily limitations give us limitations. Right? Because we're physical, there is an end where my arm stops. Even though you think he has a long arm, but it stops at a certain time, certain place. But God is a spirit. He is everywhere present. So what David is saying is, where shall I go from your spirit? Because your spirit is everywhere. You're not like a creation that is limited to some body that he's locked up in, if you will. But as he's a spirit, he is everywhere present in his eternal power, in his eternal presence, in his eternal being. God does not have eyes like we have eyes. There's not two great eyes in the sky looking down as we have physical eyes, which really are God's miracle that we can see. But he doesn't have eyes that must focus on a certain spot or a certain place. But his eyes are spiritual. He sees all things perfectly at the same time. Ours are just a dim shadow. Our eyes are just a little stick figure in compared to a glorious body. Our eyes are very different. And David says, you are a spirit. Your eyes see all things at the same time in all perfection. He does not have a body that is limited to a certain part of creation. He doesn't walk one day in America and then another day in Europe and then another day in Africa. No, he is spirit. He sees he's always present everywhere at the same time. And if you said, I don't fully understand that, welcome. We all don't. But that's the reality. He doesn't have physical ears. The Lord is not trying to focus. When one person prays, he needs to focus on that one that's here. When another person prays, he needs to go quickly to the other side to pick up both prayers. No. God's ears are spiritual. He hears all things at the same time, perfectly filtered, with his heart perfectly interacting with every prayer at the same time. I also don't fully understand that. But we must know who God is. So when David says, where shall I flee from your spirit? This is not some kind of term he throws out loosely. He realizes that because God is spirit, he sees him, hears him, knows him, and cares about him. Every single moment of the day, as though God is standing in a physical body, face to face, and he sees you and he knows you, and he recognizes a smile upon your face. Because he is spirit, he is able to do that to all people at the same time. And so, we come to verse 11 and 12, and David says, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. If you can see in the dark, you must have some special glasses on or something, right? You must turn on the light. But the Bible says that God can see as clearly in the darkness as he can see in the light. Why is that? How can we see? We need light to reflect in our eyes. But remember, God's eyes are spiritual. He's not dependent upon the light of the sun to see. God sees all things perfectly at the same time. And so he says, yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. Imagine you had eyes that if it be pitch black. Have you ever been in a room where it's pitch black, where it's absolutely dark? And the Bible says that God can walk around in a dark room like that, and it is as bright as noonday, as though the sun is fully shining and you see every little detail. That's how well he sees. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. May I make a little bit of a rabbit trail into a spiritual reality. When you walk closely with the Lord and you feel like you're walking in the light, and you feel like you're walking near to God, it's true that he sees you and he knows you and he walks with you. But my dear friend, if you are in hardship and you don't feel the same way, you must realize that even though you feel like it's darkness, God is as present with you as in the first time. Amen. He is as near to you in hardships as in good times. When the room seems dark to us, when our life seems dark to us, it is as light to him. He sees all things, and he knows all things. God is not like man. Nothing is hidden from his sight. And so we come to our third destination. Before I was born, what were you thinking about before you were born? Nothing, right? That's right. Because you have a brain. Really. And you need your brain to think, right? Without your head, you can't think. Right? If you put your head to the side, you can't think anymore. Right? You need your head to think. But God, he knew you before you were born. Before your mommy and daddy even thought about, is God going to give us any children? When your daddy was a little boy like you, or a big boy like you, God knew you already. You know, in a way, we are all the same age. Because we all come from eternity in God's mind. Don't take that as that you can tell your dad what to do. All right? Because God has brought you into your father's house. God knew David before David knew anything at all. Psalm 139, verse 15 and 16 says this: my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. That is, in secret made. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as they there was none of them. David realized that every member of his body had been planned and made by God himself. Now, I don't just want to ask this to the children. I have in my notes to tell the children, but I don't want to. Everybody, look at your hands. Do you see the lines on your hands? God crafted them in your hands. Do you see, if you look up close to your fingers, do you see the little circles in your fingers? Do you see them? I have them too. Do you see that? God crafted those. God made those exactly the way they were. I don't study your hand for the rest of the sermon because there's a lot of interesting things to be looking at your hands. But God crafted your hands in the very, they were written, the details, David says, of your body, your members were described in God's book. Can you imagine that? Before you were made, when, I don't know if your mother and father did an echo in the womb and see that you had a beating heart or not. You had, obviously. Eventually. God knew what you would look like today. As a matter of fact, he designed the very shape of your fingers, the very length of your nails, the very color of your skin, the amount of hairs that are on your arm or on your head. He knows the very eyelashes. That's amazing, isn't it? God designed everything. When you look into the mirror, you think, that's me. You know why you think that way? Because God designed it that way. The way you look exactly, women, the way you look is exactly how God fashioned it and how he desired it to be. It was his plan, his desire that your eyes, your cheekbones, your nose, everything was made the way it is. Because God delighted in that. And he wrote it down in his book to make it that way. That becomes very personal, doesn't it? When I say that, it may make you feel awkward. Well, who are you to say that? But this is God, my friends. God desired you. And it's in the Bible, right? Let me read it to you again. Which in continuous, and in thy book all my members were written. All my members were written. God encoded, if you will, in his book, the way you would look. And so, David comes to realize this. God knows him completely. Every part of his body, every action that he has ever done, wherever he might know, God knows him perfectly because God searches him and God knows him. Now, my dear friends, if God knows you perfectly, everything you are, everything about your body, everything about your every action, word, and thought, every place where you have ever been, there's no way to escape from him. He hears every word. He sees every thought. He knows all of you all together. If that is true, then he knows every action of 2018. Which means that he was right there with you in your hardships, which means that he was there when life was rough and tough and difficult, that he was right there comforting your soul in the difficulties, which means that he was right there. Every sin that you committed, may I say that he was right there with the blood of Christ, with every sin that you committed. We do not know everything in this life. We don't understand everything in this life. But this we know, that the Lord searches and knows us, and that he is ever present with us because he loves us. He knows your fears, my dear friends, for the coming time. He knows your fears that you may have for your children. He knows the fears that you may have for your grandchildren. He knows the fears that you may have in your own life for the way this country is going or the way where your life is going. He knows it all. And he's right with you. He's in Florida. He's there. And when you're there, he will be with you there. And all those hours getting there, he is there with you all the time. And so we come to our fourth destination, which is really, I kind of gave that away, but it's probably one of my favorite destinations of the four. Basically, they're all four my favorites, but this is also a favorite. God has countless thoughts of you. Can you count to countless? No, right? Which means they're without number. Now, I can't illustrate this because there's nothing to illustrate it because it's too many. But if you were to count tonight every little dot on the floor, look at the carpet. Do you see the little dots that come out? Whatever you would call that. You like to count them for the week? You start in the corner and you just go line by line. God has more thoughts about you and you than all these little specks on the floor. That's amazing. God is just not looking at, okay, I know that person, I know the life. No, it's countless. David is saying, like, this is like an uncountable amount of thoughts, like an overwhelming ocean that just floods over him with this thoughts of every part of his life, the way that God sees you, the way that he loves you, the dreams and the thoughts that he has for you, the cares that he has for you. It's countless. That's incredible. And by the way, he also has countless thoughts for your neighbor, and countless thoughts for your spouse, and countless thoughts for your children. Isn't that an incredible reality? Sometimes, maybe we think, well, does the Lord even think about that person? I've been praying for that person for so long. The Lord has countless thoughts about his creatures. That's incredible. God doesn't just have thoughts about you because he has to. It's not just because, well, he's God, so he kind of has to produce these thoughts. No, it's also because he desires to care for you. That's the theme of the whole psalm. Right? Do you remember we started with that searching and knowing? And now David ties that in and is saying, because he searches and knows me, he has countless thoughts towards me. And so David begins to treasure God's thoughts towards him. He begins, and this is really, I think, the way that we should wake up in the morning sometimes, or maybe every day. Waking up in the morning and going to God in prayer and saying, Lord, I come before you with a few little thoughts. But again, give me one glimpse of that ocean of thoughts that you have towards me. Stir my heart up with your love towards me. Because I am like a little flame that needs support of fire and oxygen and life all the time. But you are the independent fire, the love that has no dependency upon me. Show me thy thoughts towards me, O Lord. David is unable to count them. And we see David cry out, "Oh God, how great is the sum of them! Oh God, how great is the sum of them!" Do you see that? Verse 17. "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. Oh God, how great is the sum of them." Now children, when you hear your father read a psalm, from now on, if he ever reads, "How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them," you need to say, "Stop. Daddy, read it to me the way it is." Because when it says, "Oh God," David is exclaiming. He's reading it, he's writing it like this, "Oh, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God, how great is the sum of them." David is astonished by the thoughts, okay? That's the way we ought to read this, because that's the way that it's written. Exclamation mark means, "Oh God!" David stands before his God, before his Lord who loves him, and he is overwhelmed. And so it's like this mighty ocean of thoughts that David observes. And suddenly he realizes that God is deeply involved in his life. God sees all his thoughts and his actions. What a comfort can this be to us. When a loved one takes us by the hands and says, "I was thinking about you yesterday." Or when you get a little text, "I'm thinking about you, how is it going?" But here is God thinking about us all the time. Isn't that astonishing? I know how much I've thought about you this week. It's not all the time. I have thought about all of you. Not the ones I've never met before, sorry. I have to be real here. But I thought about you as a body, as you as individuals. But not like this. God has been thinking about you since the last time we saw you, every moment of the day, every split second after every split second, continuously, his thoughts has been towards you. And David realizes, although he has been in many dangers, when he awakes, God was there, still there to be with you. And so he comes in this curious little two lines. And he comes to a crescendo, and leaving his fourth destination to return to the beginning, he cries out to God. He begins to pray. Now remember, David was constantly in danger in his life. He was a king who could be killed every day. A king at that time meant that if somebody else wanted to be a king, there was only one quick way to become king: slitting your throat, killing you. Plus, Israel was a small nation with Egypt and the Philistines, and the Moabites, and the Syrians, everywhere encroaching upon this little nation that was so overflowing with milk and honey at this time. So you can imagine living as a king like that. And even if we go before that, right, you remember David being hunted like a little rabbit by a mighty force of Saul's army, running around a mountain not to be caught, because as soon as he's caught, he will be killed. Here's a man who knows what it means to be in danger. And now through this journey of seeing the knowledge of God and his thought, God's thoughts towards him, David begins to understand that God is right there with him. That God has been standing by his side all the time. That he knows him. And it transforms his confidence. Now, I was thinking about an illustration, and I was thinking about this. When I was going to school when I was younger, sometimes a kid would be bullied, right? And other kids that are just an inch taller than him would feel themselves as mighty, strong men that could do anything to this smaller child. Now imagine this child standing one day, and there is this enormous mountain of the man, 6-7 feet tall, standing next to him and says, "How are you doing, my friend?" What do you think these bullies would do? They would run away or start to bring him gifts. "You want my lunch?" Why? Because suddenly he realizes all his dangers are gone. In a way, it depends upon what his friend desires for him. That is what's going to happen. These little fellows that are an inch taller than him all become like little tiny squirrels. Right? No threat. Or chipmunks. Small, tiny threats. No threats at all. And David is the same. David suddenly realizes that God is by his side, and whatever God desires, that is what's going to happen. But more than that, his thoughts towards God are transformed. It's no longer David thinking about what's going to happen to my life. But David now sees his life as a life that needs to glorify God. And he sees that his own life is a tool to glorify this great God who cares so much about him. And suddenly he begins to realize, as I think men and women find in a marriage, that when a man is loved by a woman, the man is no longer caring about himself as much as before, but now he is set free to love his wife and to care for others. And David is in the same way. When he sees that God loves him and cares for him, he is set free not to just care about his own cares, because he realizes God cares for him, and now he begins to care for God. That's some advice that I had wanted to know at the beginning of our marriage. When I realize that my wife feels loved by me, then she can fully love me. And when she fully loves me, then I can fully love her. Because I'm no longer seeking to get things for myself, but I desire to give because I'm loved. And David sees the same thing. He sees that God loves him and cares about him. And so he is able to care about God. So with that enormous introduction to the two little lines, let me read it to you. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloody man. You see, it begins and it sounds like he is going to pray for himself. And then he says the reason for his prayer in verse 20. For they speak against thee wickedly. You see what David is saying? They speak against you wickedly. God, take them away, because they speak against you wickedly. And thine enemies take thy name in vain. You see where David is, what has happened to David? David has been saying the whole psalm, God, you are always looking at me. You always care for me. You're always looking at me. There's these evil men. They do something against you. David's heart has been transformed. It's no longer about David. It's about what people do against God. And so his prayers are transformed for the glory of God. Soli Deo, Gloria. But he continues, do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate thee. His love is centered on God. If people hate God, then David hates those. And am I not grieved with those that rise up against thee? Do you see that? Do you see the change in the psalm? Everything is, God thinks about David. God looks at David. God looks at David. And then we see, what is David thinking about? God. The glory of God. The glory of God. This psalm is really a psalm for sanctification. When we see that God cares for us and loves us, then we begin to see and live for the glory of God. Because we realize we really don't need to worry about our own life. We need to worry, if that's the proper word. But we need to be caring about the way that people deal before God. I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them mine enemies. He's standing in the armor of God. And he's saying, Lord, you care about me. I'm an enlisted soldier. I am your servant. I am going to walk and care about your kingdom. And David begins to pray on God's behalf. Something wonderful has happened to David. He has become so satisfied with God's care for him that he is no longer concerned with himself. You see that? He is no longer concerned with David. He is concerned with God. And the reason, beloved, why I wanted to look at 2018 through this journey, that you see that God sees all your actions, words, and thoughts because he loves you, that God sees you in every place, that he's always there with you, that God searches and knows you even before you were born, and he wrote all the members of your body in a book, and that he has countless thoughts towards you. so that your heart would also be lifted up in praise to God. And that you no longer are worried about yourself, because, my dear friends, God cares for you. God sees you and God knows you and God loves you. If that is true, then you are set free to serve the living God. Do you see that? You see how all of that is foundational to true living. To be as you were, a doulos of God, a slave of God. David's prayer is concerned with God's name and God's glory and God's honor. That's why the Reformer said, it's all for the glory of God. Now, I know that when you take that wrongly, it sounds like, well, I don't like this life, but I'll live for the glory of God anyway. No. That's not what that means. What that means is this. And because of this, because he has first loved us, we also love him. And because he has so much cared for us, we can truly live for his glory. You no longer need to be worried about your life, my friends, because God cares for it. And so David has come to realize I don't need to fight for myself or be concerned about me, because God cares for me. This has given him so much freedom that he can truly care about the matters of God. And this is my prayer before. This is my prayer for you. That as you reflect on 2018, I don't know your habits, and maybe you don't do this, maybe this is a good start, but if you reflect on 2018, that you realize that God has been faithful to you, and that he cares for you, and that he watches over you, so that you come to the same freedom of David, that you may joyfully serve the Lord. What a foundation, isn't it? And so we come back to the beginning. At the end of our journey, David returns to the beginning, but something has changed, isn't it? As we read in the beginning, as Daniel read, something has changed in the midst of this psalm. God's searching and knowing has changed from being a fact. He searched me and known me. Now it becomes David's deepest desire. Search me and know me, O God. David sets the door of his heart wide open. He prays to God, search me, O God. Search me, O God. And know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. He says, if you know me this way, if you know all my actions, words, and thoughts, if you know me in every place, if you know me before I was born and wrote all my members in your books, and if you have countless thoughts of me, if that is true, which it is, then search me. Search all my heart. Search every pocket, every shadow. Take away every hypocrisy. Take away every sin, every thought that is not in accordance with your will. You see what has changed? It's no longer this daunting, the Lord searches me and knows me. Oh no, it's Lord, you search me and know me, and still you are my Lord. If that is true, oh God, search me, know me, try me, test me. Place me in the fire. And test if I am pure gold. Burn off everything that is not gold for your glory. David wants to be absolutely clean, knowing that God cares for him and see him continuously. He wants to live in the presence of God with God's smile upon him. David desires God to know his heart. Every corner, every shadow, so that he might be perfect in God's sight. See, that's a scary thing to start there without this. But if you know that he knows you all, and he knows everything, and still he is your Lord, if that is true, then he can truly have all my heart and search every way within me. And to take away every lust, every desire, every sin, every deception of my heart, and make me clean and pure before his presence. Beloved, God has been with you this entire year, through your ups and through your downs. He sees all things and he knows all things, and there's nothing hidden from his presence. He has countless thoughts about you. Then, Let him be your closest companion. For he is nearer to you than anyone else in this world. Let's pray. Oh, Father, you know us because you have searched us. Search us, O Lord, and know us. Try us and see if there be any wicked way in us. And cleanse us, O Lord. Renew us. And make us whole. O Father, I pray that this message tonight of your nearness and your knowledge of us, Lord, I pray that this might be stamped upon our eyes, that we might live and see and know and feel and hear this way. Lord, I pray for this incredible blessing upon every one of us here. In Jesus' name, amen.